And we're live.
We are?
Yes.
And we are live. This is another episode of Fun.net. And today we have the pleasure of having Beth on the show. Beth Massey. Hi.
Hey guys, thanks for having me. It's like my first time on the show, I think.
Yeah. I don't know why we should have you.
We should definitely have you.
Because you usually have smart people on the show, I think.
Right,
so.
Yeah. Not always. No, I'm joking. We've only had very, very smart people.
Well, thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. So the reason for your presence today, apart from us loving to have you on the show, is that it is the 15th birthday of .NET, which
That's
is
right,
awesome.
Monday. Yeah, Monday. Monday, February 13th, 2002. .NET was released to the world. So yeah, it was a pretty great post. If you go to the blog, we have a lot of well wishes for .NET.
Yeah, the comments are amazing.
Yeah, like it's been great. So, and if you go to Twitter and you look up the hashtag MyVSStory, there's a ton of .NET stories in that feed. So share your stories. I'm sure there's a ton of people out there that have like an old conference shirt or, you know, share a memory about Visual Studio and .NET.
So, yeah, so
share the love. Yeah.
So how does this work? Is it videos, short videos?
So
it's like
a
video selfie?
Yeah, there's selfie videos. Tim Huckabee just posted an old video of him on stage with Bill Gates. There's the, you know, screenshots of like adventure works in let's see, what was that, Front Page, and like just different stuff is kind of in the feed, just kind of like reminiscing in the memories. It's kind of cool. Somebody even took a shot of like their old, you know, I used to get MSDN, used to go get CDs, and then they turned to DVDs, and then now you just download stuff, but like just great pictures up there.
Yeah, I remember the, you know, the big packages that you would get, what was it, every month?
Well, I know, and I remember when they turned to DVDs, and you're like, oh God, thank God there's not
so
much.
Finally, stuff. Yeah.
I think I still have the booklet.
You would still get dozens of them, and yeah, you would put them in the booklet, and yeah, it was awesome.
So much easier to do a download manager now. There's actually really some cool stories though, like of folks that are, you know, building stuff today, and somebody even has like a happy birthday in binary right now. It's kind of cool. Check out the feed and post your stories. I started with .NET in the beginning. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm older than I look. No, I started with FoxPro actually. And FoxPro was part of Visual Studio, you know, back then. So Visual Studio in 1997 released was actually just technically it was like five boxes taped together. You know, it was literally, you know, products like FoxPro, it was VB, it was C++, InterDev, and I think we actually had a J Sharp or J later, maybe. I think there was four. At any rate, there was like basically four products put together, and that predates .NET. The next version of Visual Studio in 2002 was the .NET version, and I remember being a part. I was not an MVP or anything, but I was a young hotshot working in New York at a consulting company, and we were doing FoxPro work. And I remember looking at .NET in the early alpha stages and playing with it because we were kind of like a Microsoft partner back then, and just was blown away by the speed of it actually, because we were doing a lot of backend work with COM, distributed COM, you know, transaction coordinator. You remember all that NT 2000, year 2000 stuff? And I remember just trying out, so I think it was VB.NET, actually. I tried VB.NET, just wrote a COM server, really, and the speed increases were incredible. And I remember just saying, forget this FoxPro thing, I'm sorry, I can't use it for the scenarios that we were trying to build. And that was sort of like the beginning of the, you know, the web, really. The web started exploding and customers were coming to us. They wanted all these websites, and we really had to find a different solution than FoxPro. But I did land on the FoxPro team, which was one of the kind of a dream come true. Like, I was a contractor back in 2002 2-3. I actually was on the Visual Fox Pro 8 team. I have a signed box from the team here, which is kind of cool. And I posted in the My Story feed a picture. Actually, Sarah Ford had this picture of this road to Whidbey, and it was literally like we were building .NET, Visual Studio .NET at the time I was on the Fox Pro team. So Fox Pro kind of got the boot out of Visual Studio because Visual Studio was .NET based, and I remember like the whole developer division was focused on this, you know, Whidbey, you know, and it was actually this really cool picture of all of us in the shape of an infinity sign, which was kind of cool. So that was like sort of my start into Microsoft and remembering sort of the history of how .NET was being built. I actually was off the Fox Pro team. I went back into the real world and started programming. I remember this launch event, you know, mm-hmm. Ready to Rock. This was the 2005 launch. So this is the next version of Visual Studio, 2005.
We didn't see the whole thing. Show the inside. I have the same.
Inside.
Yeah.
There you go. Wow. It's the DVDs of SQL Server 2005 and Visual Studio was released at the same time. And I have the signet. These are signed from. So basically, SQL Server hired Orange County Choppers that built those custom bikes, those motorcycles, hired them to create a bike for SQL Server. And so I got Paul Senior, he signed it, and Mikey. Mikey was the. They were on the show, Orange County Choppers. And then I forget. I think this was the. I think I can't tell this signature, but I think that this was the lead singer of Cheap Trick.
Oh.
Who I forget his name, but anyways, that Cheap Trick was playing, you know. So these were like the back in the day when these huge launch events would happen. You know, it was actually pretty fun. And then you know, I ended up joining Microsoft as a full time employee, and I have still been. It's my 10-year anniversary coming up in March.
Oh, congratulations!
Yeah. Awesome. So I have this Ship It Award when they used to still give us Ship It Awards.
Oh yeah.
I got this. Yeah. So basically, I live in California, and literally I got this, and an earthquake happened, and it cracked my Ship It Award. So I couldn't, I got this. This is the last one where they were giving us little plaques, right? This is Visual Studio 2012, and I have .NET Framework on here. But like, I couldn't get a new one because they don't make these anymore.
No,
so I had this crack in mine. So it's the Ship It Award from California earthquake, right, situation there. So it was kind of fun, so. I know you've been in the .NET area for a long time too, Bertrand.
Yeah, I started using .NET with the first public betas. I was in a small web company at the time in France, and I was building websites using classic ASP. And when ASP.NET started to appear, I was very, very interested, and I started building a CMS with it.
Just a little one, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And then I actually used that work to get into Microsoft and get hired here. Cool. And yeah, I was hired in 2003. And
Nice. And you were like, but it was open source CMS, right? So you were in the open source.
No, it was actually a closed source CMS, the first one that I made. Later, I contributed to Orchard.
Okay, that's what I was thinking.
Which is still ongoing. I mean, it's,
right.
We have the Orchard conference next week, by the way. It's in New York City.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. .NET Foundation project.
Yes. What about the .NET Foundation, by the way? When did that become a thing?
Yeah, so, you know, that's good question. So when we open sourced the very first bits of .NET Core in November 2014, we had, I think right around that time, we were working on standing up the foundation. Trying to remember the timeline, because this was even before Martin, and you know, before Martin was executive director, I was, you know, secretary of the foundation. And I remember it was just a lot of work to get it stood up. And I learned a ton about open source communities and just the business of open source and creating a foundation. I'm still not an expert at all, but I was near the standing up of the foundation. So, you know, now that, you know, 3 years and counting later, it's come a very long way, and it's definitely much more established, you know, a group now. And But yeah, it was sort of like, I feel like we just really didn't know what we were doing in the beginning when we were starting this, and a lot of legal things to go through, and I had to learn a lot legally about how stuff works, you know, how to start. It's like how to start a nonprofit almost, really, too, you know, a company. So that was a lot of fun. But thank God we have a great, you know, Martin was great. And now we have John Galloway as executive mm-hmm. director. I'm really excited about that. Actually, John brings a ton of just community with him. And, you know, he can learn the day-to-day stuff of managing the foundation. Mm-hmm. I think what he really brings is the expertise and the closeness with the community that he's had over the years. So I'm really excited about that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Kendra is telling me that we are not live.
Oh, I can just say, yeah, we're not live. the TriCaster needs to be rebooted.
But we are recording.
You know, but we are recording, yeah. So we can post this later. Okay.
That's a bummer. It means that we probably won't have any questions from the audience, because we don't have an audience, basically.
Okay.
Not yet. But okay. It's okay.
You want to just put it on pause and have
No, it's fine. Let's just go on, and we'll put the recording on online mm-hmm. later today. I think
okay.
it's fine.
Yeah. All right, should we tweet that?
Yeah, we should probably tweet it.
Sure. Probably tweet that. So.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
No. It's okay. Right. It happens.
That's cool.
Yeah, sorry about that.
No, that's cool. So, yeah. You know, you want to go through some of the fun things on the Twitter feed from people, or what do you want to do? Like, what do you want?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, okay, we can do that. All right, let's share. I'll share my screen then. Let's see which one. This one. All right. Tell me when you see my screen.
Yeah, you're good.
Okay, cool. So yeah, this is the feed, my AVS story. So we're releasing Visual Studio 2017 on March 7th, and we're gonna have a broadcast keynote and some live Q&As. And so we're trying to, you know, get people to share their Visual Studio stories. And of course, .NET is 15 years of Visual Studio. Visual Studio is 20 years old, and .NET is most of that time, and so there's just a ton of fun .NET stuff in here as well. Like this one from Tim Huckabee, he's got, you know, he's on stage right here with, you know, Ballmer, with
wow.
Gates. So, you know, Tim Huckabee is a regional director at San Diego. So he's got some fun stuff there. That's actually a video. I won't play it through the video, but Tim Sneath, you know, he's one of our employees here on the Visual Studio team. He actually has a screenshot here of this is the Microsoft Developer Studio, it was called, right?
Yeah.
And that's AdventureWorks. You see, that's pretty funny. His first ever speaking in the UK, which is pretty cool. I think that's even before my time, honestly. Sarah Ford works for GitHub. She used to be on the Visual Studio team. She used to do the Visual Studio tips and tricks.
She was in the Codeplex also.
Yes, yeah, so she was in Codeplex too. And now she works for GitHub, and she manages the GitHub extension for Visual Studio. So she has a really cool story and says and wishes everybody well. You know, there's Orville and posting pictures, and here's one of the. This is the original setup for Visual Studio. So here's all the stuff. Yeah, Visual J++ was in there.
Yeah.
So, yep, Internet
yeah,
Explorer.
Yeah, I've used that.
Yep, okay, cool. So I thought so. SourceSafe, Transaction Server, remember that? Those great things. So that was the Enterprise Edition.
Let's not talk about SourceSafe.
Well, it was there. So I like this one. This is what we were talking about. Those are the subscriptions. 1996. Like, that's pretty
yeah.
old. That's a pretty old one too. That's in his library, which is really cool. Let's see what else. There's this one right here, which I really liked. That was the binary happy birthday .NET code. That's
yep.
kind of cute. Yeah.
Did you check it?
Did
you
I didn't.
Say that?
I did not check it. So on Thursday, we organized this event with the Microsoft Alumni Network, and we have a ton of Microsoft alumni, you know, ex-Microsofties and current team members that showed up.
Yeah, I was there.
Yeah, you were there. We had a cake, and we sang really badly happy birthday. But we also shot a bunch of interviews in the back.
Yep.
And so I released one of them on Monday, and that was Anders talking about, you know, .NET. And one of the things that I thought was really I thought was really kind of funny that he said, but it totally makes sense, is he really actually did not anticipate how popular the language would have, the whole platform became. And that he was super, it was just kind of, it kind of felt like he was just humbled by it. You know, you have to watch the video. So when we were talking
to him. Yeah, it's a great interview. So it's on the blog post from Monday. So check it out. We'll put the link in the description.
Yeah. There we go. It's probably right after your post. Happybirthday.net. Yep. So that was good. And then we actually ended up recording, I think, 18 other interviews. So we'll keep releasing more and more. And they all are about, you know, the kind of the founders and legends and rock stars of the .NET team and team members of the past and present. So that's going to be kind of fun. So you gotta post something, Kendra. I'm like waiting for your video, your selfie video, to show up in here. You do great videos too.
Yeah, cool. I wanted to do that for .NET's 15th birthday. I got really sick on Monday.
That's cool. And actually, I had some leftover cake from the party, and I was gonna bring it in, but it was just trash by the end of the night. So
yeah, we party hard.
Well, it was at a brewery.
Yeah. It's a great place with great beer, I have to say. Yeah,
very actually, nice location. John, the owner of Hi-Fi Brewing in Redmond, is an ex-Microsoftie. Yes. And so it was very cool of him to give us the space. So it was very fun.
All right. What is your best memory of .NET, your best story of .NET?
So besides the aha moment that I told you about the speed, I think one of the things, because I came into the industry out of college right as the small businesses were starting to really embrace PCs, okay? So this is like the mid-90s, right? So like large businesses already had business applications, were already using computers to automate, you know, their processes. But, you know, it wasn't until like, I feel like the 90s where we really had software and the right price on hardware that small businesses could really start writing custom software for their businesses. So I ended up doing a lot of that kind of work as I got out of school. Now, most of it was done in DBase. You know, I mean, like I got out of school in 94, right? So a lot of it was like a DBase, Clipper, Fox Pro. Like that's where I got into the Fox Pro thing. When .NET came out and I started playing with it, it was really about the language. I think I fell in love with VB.NET first because I came from Fox Pro and it was like a little bit more similar for me. Fox Pro was also an object-oriented language, and if you just put this instead of me for VB.NET, it kind of looked like Fox Pro. Fox Pro was very different because it had like a database. Yeah. It was a database language, is an in-memory database language, right? And Visual Basic wasn't, .NET wasn't, because of the way that technology landscape was changing towards the internet and distributed programming, right? So Fox Pro was not suitable anymore for those sorts of things.
No, but it was pretty cool. It had a following for a very long time.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was the client server days, right? So the internet was just so slow that you really were still using internal networks, right, and client server. And so I think with .NET, one of the great memories for me is, I was a WinForms developer right out of the gate because I was doing desktop software. And when the first version of Visual Studio .NET was pretty rough, I have to say. And so when 2005 came out, that's when we had .NET 2.0. We got generics. We had way better data binding capabilities just inside of WinForms. And that's when I started to get super productive with .NET and building these business applications. So that was sort of like another aha moment. Besides the speed increases when I was building the back-end systems, the UI felt like I finally kind of caught up to what I was used to. And then we also had like a super modern language. And it just was like, using generics cleaned up so much of the code that I was, writing. So I think that was one of my favorite memories about it. And obviously the people, you know, I mean, like going to the conferences. I mean, we used to go to so many conferences, and now we have online conferences and we can talk to people just like this. You know, just meeting people over the years. I have so many friends. You know, I'm sure you do too.
Yeah.
Like, it's like a family, you know, it's like a huge family that you have. And I think that's about it. I think any developer community, you know, creates that kind of family, but the .NET family is huge and I have a lot of friends.
Yeah, would you say that we also have the crazy uncles in that family?
every family has their crazy uncles, but you know, for the most part, look at this. If people didn't love .NET, we wouldn't have had like that flood of happy birthdays after the happy birthday post. You know what I mean? There are always going to be, your community is always going to be, the people that love you the most are always going to be the most critical.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's hard as the product team sometimes to hear like, you know, day after day, very critiqued things. So we just have to remember the fact that people are, you know, critiquing us means that they care, you know. You know, look at it that way sometimes.
Yes, and I mean, it's rare that you have the, you know, you have the drive to go on Twitter and say that you love something. Usually when
you hate it.
Yeah, Or exactly.
But if you took the time out to say that you hate it in a constructive way, you know.
Yeah,
don't get trolled, but I mean, you know, that also we also should be thankful for the people that, you know, keep us honest.
Yeah, right? So absolutely. But what I meant to say is that there is a lot of people who usually don't say anything on Twitter on those channels, and that anniversary is the opportunity for them to speak up and say that they like .NET. So that's very heartwarming for us.
And our Facebook, you know, on our Facebook, when I posted on Facebook, I think we had like, you know, we have over 70,000 impressions now, I think, just from people sharing it. I don't know, like there's a few thousands of shares. And so, yeah, it's like, I think that we do have a large community that doesn't interact with us on Twitter that much, but they absolutely do love the product. So it's good to see.
Yeah.
It's fun.
So we still want to see the criticism and the...
Oh, we do. Definitely do. So.
All right.
What about your favorite memory, Bertrand?
You know, it's probably the time spent with the people in conferences. I love conferences, and in particular what happens at night after the talks, and
I mean, isn't it cool though? Like, so you interact with somebody online for years, and like, you know, I was in the forums a lot. You know, when I was younger, we had a lot of forums conversations, and I just had it with handles, right? You're just talking to handles, and then you go to the conference, and like, you don't know who these handles look like, and then they'll say like, I'm 1247. I'm like, what? You are? Like, wow. And then you like, you get to talk to them for real, and then you end up making like, you end up making friends for life, you know?
Yeah,
So it is important to get together. And it's also like, I think people are a little bit more, you know, compassionate, or they feel a little bit more when you actually talk to them face to face, or even over the phone, or even like this, you know? So instead of just having like conversations in like in threads, when you actually have a real conversation with somebody, it's like the next level of,
and actually it's part of what we're trying to do with this show, which is to have conversations with the people who make .NET internally and externally, so that people can feel that direct connection with the product.
Hey, you know I'm all about community. I mean, that's where I started. I mean, just because I'm in marketing now doesn't mean I don't love community still.
Yeah.
So marketing's been interesting.
So other than that, one of the things that really sold me .NET at the time was I was doing classic ASP, as I said, and we were reproducing a lot of stuff from one website to the next one. And, you know, we were cranking a lot of those every week, and there was a lot of repetition, and the whole thing was very brittle because we were, you know, copying stuff around. The way to reuse was basically copy-paste, and .NET was introducing into our little shop lots of saner software development practices. So it went from, you know, kiddie scripting almost to, you know, serious stuff. So that was really beneficial. And then, you know, to end up from there.
I mean, moving from scripting to a compiled language is
definitely,
there's a lot of ahas, right?
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, I definitely, like, when I'm trying to code in JavaScript, I'm always like missing C sharp, honestly, because I feel like why am I doing this? I don't even know what type this is. I have to look. I'm constantly in documentation when I'm writing, but I also suck at writing JavaScript that so what about like some of the things that you see today? Like, what excites you about what people are building today? You know, I mean, like, I see so many, like, I don't know, I guess maybe it is just because I'm out there more, but I see people using .NET to build like some things I never thought that they would build ever, you know, not just business applications. I mean, I came from business apps, so I see a ton of business apps, but I mean, like, tons of games. I mean, Stacy's got that, you know, show games. I mean, I don't know if I could even write a game. I mean, I'm not that creative, I don't think, but like some of these are super creative.
So I think the Unity is doing a ton of good to .NET because it's a dominant solution in the gaming industry nowadays. I mean, if you're going to do a cross-platform game, Unity is going to be a very, very strong option for that. So I think that's really important. I'm looking forward to what's going to happen with Minecraft. The next version of Minecraft, they are currently working on finalizing their new plugin infrastructure, if I understand correctly. I have no insider information about that, but I'm very excited about that because Minecraft is hugely popular with kids.
Right.
I don't know one kid who doesn't play Minecraft. It's that common. It's the perfect opportunity to learn how to code. You know, you've been playing with Minecraft, you've been building stuff in Minecraft. Well, here is how you can actually build a huge castle in 3 seconds with code. And it's immediately understandable what's going on, right? There is an immediate feedback. The feedback loop is very, very short. You see it immediately building stuff in a world that is interactive and that has physics and so on. So I think that's very exciting.
Gaming's ton, and then, you know, also just like cloud and cloud computing and just like hyperscale systems and like. I mean, I just, some of the things like that we can do just by flipping switches in Azure required an entire master's degree in 1995, right? So like the types of things that we're able to do, especially like, you know, in the cloud, is just incredible in my opinion.
And the way your application structure changes with lower latencies and so on.
And, you know, a lot of new architectures, too, come about, right?
Yeah, that wasn't possible 5 years ago.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's really accelerated some of the innovations that people have, you know, when they're building their applications as well. I mean, because they can, it's very cost effective for them to go out and build like a large, say, microservices architecture or, you know, utilizing services that are already written that you don't have to write yourself speeds up the development and incredibly, right? So I think that's kind of exciting. And, you know, as old as we are, we kind of seen all of the, you know, what's the new architecture pattern of the year kind of thing. So this is definitely a time where I think the cloud has really influenced a lot of those patterns now. So that's pretty fun. So what about all this? You like look at a ton of little like packages and, you know, package of the week type of stuff. What's one of your, like, I saw the last one, like you've come up with like all these little cool packages of the week to use.
Well, I don't come up with them. I mean, that's the thing. It's that.
Well, you pick them.
Well, so, yeah, but it's easy. So when I started doing the blog posts, I only had, you know, a few links, and you know, I started gathering some sources for those links. And now I actually have to be very selective about what I put in there. The community is very, very, very active. It's more a job of selection than it is a job of of looking for stuff.
That's cool.
And for the, you know, the component of the week, or the, you know, those little things, it's the same. They just come to me, and I have to select which one I put forward. And I'm amazed at the amount of innovation that's coming from the community, and I think we really need to show that.
I think it's a great series, Bertrand. It's totally great. Like, and yeah, that's how I kind of keep up to date with, like, you know, this cool. week in .NET. You know, so I love how it's like grown. How long have you been doing this? For a couple of years now, right?
No, not even. It's a little more than a year, actually.
Okay. All right.
And a lot of the links that I'm getting, I'm getting from from people who are sending me those links. There are a few people who send me links for UWP gaming. Stacy is doing that. Philip is sending me F# links.
What's the thing with .NET, right? It's this huge ecosystem, yeah. But there are multiple communities within, because yes. communities, like, they yes. break up over time. You know, I mean, like, you have your gaming community, you have your F# community. I mean, there's always crossover because it's the .NET
and
ecosystem.
This is how a community
Very
grows.
Cool.
It needs to have, you know, it needs to create its own micro communities that grow
Super,
and
yeah.
create new ones.
Totally.
Yeah, and a lot of the links I'm getting from the Daily Brew, which is a daily list of links. People need to check that out if they want to have even more links about .NET.
That's cool. That's very cool. Yeah, I mean, I used to do a lot of content and blogging myself, and the content roll-ups, like, I used to do them monthly. Were always one of the most popular set of blogs. I mean, people can't keep up every single day with every single blog anymore. I mean, honestly, I think I read Twitter more than I read blogs these days. So, like, having something weekly, like a newsletter, really is helpful.
Mm-hmm.
So good job.
Well, thank you. Okay, anything else you want to mention? I don't know, how are we on time?
We had no questions, so, because we're not live, so.
Yeah,
so if you want to send questions, you know, I'm at Beth Massey at Twitter, so just, you know, shoot me a question if you have later, and I'll try and answer anything I can, so hopefully this is fun.
What is the extent of your job, of your day-to-day job? What do you do?
What do I do? So I am actually marketing for .NET, so the corporate side. So a lot of the stuff I do is about co-marketing with other companies, about creating content that really resonates. It's about running events and making sure we have presence in events. We actually have .NET Conf planning coming up now. We're looking at June timeframe for that. We'll announce the dates at the Visual Studio 2017 launch. So we're planning that, and that's all, you know, all the stuff I do. Actually, you know what's fun about marketing? It's different every single day. My email box explodes, but it looks like every single day there is something different going on. You know, we have a plan in the beginning of the year of, like, okay, how are we going to get more people to look at .NET, right? And then I try to execute on that plan, and then it changes all over the place. So there's a lot of things that we do, right? So, you know, working with code schools, working with the engineering team, it has to happen. You know how close I am to you guys, right? We're lockstep in sync on business goals. So I just basically make sure that when you build a product, people are actually going to use it.
Yeah.
That's basically my job. And because I love .NET and I'm a developer myself, and I have no idea what, you know, I'm doing in marketing, so I'm learning the marketing of it. So it's easier to teach marketing to a developer than teach development to a marketer. So that's basically how it works.
Yeah, you've been in marketing for how long now? Yeah,
one year. Like 1 year and a month. So I'm super new, but
you were on the product team.
I was on the product team, right? So. Exactly. So I feel like I'm finally feeling like I'm getting this job under control. It's like I kind of have all of these resources. I know what I don't know now, which is the first step. And I have a fantastic team. We have a very technical marketing team, obviously, because we're developer marketing. And I think I told Richard Campbell this in a podcast once. It's really it's really hard and fun at the same time to be a marketer for developers, because developers don't react to traditional marketing at all. They're much more real. You have to be much more real and much more credible. And the product has to lead. So if I can't market a piece of poo, basically, you know, .NET really does speak for itself. All I'm trying to do is get people to notice it, you know? It's really at the end of the day, if you don't have a great product, it doesn't matter how much great marketing you have. Developers will know, you know, it doesn't pass the sniff test, I always say. Yeah. And so a lot of the stuff I do is just trying to like up level some of the content and things that you guys are doing. So it's a lot of fun. And positioning and making sure people understand what the hell is .NET, and you know, so it's getting a little more complicated to explain the whole .NET platform these days. So you know, I speak a lot to customers, large customers, for instance, get on customer calls, speak to the field, making
sure. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. Should we talk about that?
I mean, like it's hard because like you said, the ecosystem is so large, right? And how do you digest all the pieces as a business? You know, so for instance, a business wants to take a bet on .NET Core, they're gonna wanna know what it is, how it fits into the rest of the platform. If a business has already taken a bet on the .NET framework, what does that mean to them? You know, like as we move towards the future, what are their options there? So a lot of the conversation I have or with customers just trying to determine what's the next 15 years or the next 5 years maybe of their development looking like, right? And I'm basically there to tell them that, you know, .NET is the best choice for them, you know. So it's been a lot of fun. And
what are your thoughts on selling the platform versus selling the languages?
Selling, you mean pitching? Yes, we don't sell anything, right?
That's fine. I'm marketing
our free product. So. it definitely depends. So like our large enterprises, for instance, that I've been talking to, are not, they already are sold on the languages. So you're not really talking about that. We're talking more about like the architecture challenges that they're having and how can they modernize their applications going forward, and should they stick with .NET or not? And I'm there to say, yes, you should stick with .NET, and here's why. But, you know, when I talk to, say, code schools and students and that sort of thing, it's more about the languages, because really when you're first learning something, you're really learning the language, you're learning the syntax. And so we definitely, you know, or even when I speak to, like, say, other like Java developers, for instance, you know, they actually like the language a lot. So the languages I think that we have in our portfolio are well-loved languages. And so I don't really have to sell them that much. It's definitely more about like the platform, the capabilities, the types of apps people build, and what they're going to need to build those apps. So C# especially, I think, is loved by millions, as we know. And you know, the reason why is because I think it is an elegant language. And personally, I started to like it as 3.0 came about, because I was a VB. I told you I was a VB.NET developer, and a lot of the things in C# that I found in VB to be easier started to kind of light up in C# 3, like dynamic and var, and you know, just kind of things where like I didn't have to type so much. You know, I still forget the semicolon once in a while, but I think it's a really well loved language, and I don't think I really need to pitch it too much. It's more about the platform.
Yeah, you forget semicolons, I forget end ifs.
you don't have to, because you type if, it already populates. It's like try tab.
Yeah.
All right, well, you know, you also speak French and I don't, so.
Right. Sure.
Personal preferences, it's cool.
Yeah.
I think that's why, you know, it's good to have choices. It's good to have multiple languages, you know, and I think that's one of the things where when I remember being, you know, in my 20s and .NET coming out and hearing that it supported multiple languages is actually really incredible, actually. I was like, well, wait, it's not Java kind of has Java the language and Java the platform, right? We have .NET and we have a portfolio of languages.
Well, sometimes so does Java.
Well, yeah, right. So, but right. So, in the beginning, though, like in the very, yes, very beginning, yes, of time, right? So,
yes,
so
that
it was like,
very unique.
So, yeah. So it was very unique in that respect, right? And so we have to embrace the languages that, you know, come about under the platforms, right? So.
Yeah, and F Sharp is awesome too.
F Sharp is awesome. I always watch F Sharp presentations, and I'm in awe because. Because coming from the FoxPro background and manipulating data, like you can manipulate data so quickly and easily, that blows me away. It's just that I personally, like, if I can't program in, I can't even program in functional language right now. I would need to sit and have Philip next to me for a week to teach me F Sharp, I think. Yeah. And then I'm sure I would love it.
Yeah.
I really need to invest the time in it.
Cool.
All right.
Well,
I think we've rambled too much by ourselves with no questions.
So. Yeah, yeah.
But anything else you want to know about? Like, I'm kind of an old hat here, but.
Not.
Yeah, but I don't know. I feel like this year is really going to be a big year for .NET. You know, especially .NET Core,
yes,
right? And finally getting over the hump, like with, you know, our tools coming out, you know, finally releasing a version one of our tooling. That's going to be huge. I feel like we'll have more adoption as we have our tools stable. And then just going forward, it can only get better as we try to unify the platform.
As well.
Yeah, exactly. As .NET standard starts to, you know, really mature. I'm really excited for what's the ecosystem is going to explode even more, is what I'm saying. And I think we're really going to have, like, we've been talking about this renaissance of .NET. It's taken a like large boulder rolling up a hill, and I feel like we're finally starting to roll the boulder down the hill. So I'm really excited about it.
Cool.
Well, thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for being on the show. Next week I won't be on the show. You guys will have to.
Oh yeah, I'm hosting next week.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And at the Orchard conference next week. So.
Cool.
I'll be watching the show.
Ooh, fun! Hopefully we'll be able to stream then.
Yeah.
Be good.
That would be great. All right. Well, thanks
right,
again,
guys.
Beth, and
okay.
We'll see you around.
All right,
bye,
thanks.
Everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Happy birthday, .NET.
Happy birthday, .NET.
Happy birthday,
Visual Studio.